Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join us in our mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Hello there, everyone. John and Robert here. Today, we're going to talk about an incident that just occurred maybe a week ago. So, Robert, do you want to explain to us what we're diving into and what we're going to be talking about?
Sure. So we are recording this on September 27th to give some context. And yesterday, the Chemical Safety Board announced that they were going to deploy a team to the BP Toledo refinery in Oregon, Ohio. And on September 20th, there was an explosion there that resulted in two fatalities, unfortunately, and the release of sulfur dioxide and hydrogen sulfide, in addition to a significant amount of property damage. So unfortunately, we have another process safety alert here. We don't know a lot of details. Nothing has come out about what caused the incident, but from some of the details we were able to glean from the media on the internet, unfortunately, the two people who passed away were brothers, Ben and Max Morrissey. They were severely burned, taken to the local hospital in Toledo, and then transferred to the University of Michigan Medical Center. But unfortunately, by the next morning, they had succumbed to their injuries. So we don't know a lot about the folks, but we do know they leave behind them their wives and young children, and our condolences to them for their loss. And what we want to do here at Amplify Process Safety, obviously, is learn so that we can prevent other people from having the same tragic consequences. And a few details that I thought that we could throw out there. Again, we don't know what caused the incident, but we do know that OSHA is on the site and they are doing their investigation. As I said before, CSB has been deployed, so they will be doing their investigation and we'll be looking forward to what they find. Unfortunately, again, two fatalities and a significant amount of damage to the facility. And one of the things that I was able to find was that the younger brother, Ben, was 32 and Max was only 34. And Ben had only been working at the refinery since, I think it was March, so for about 6 months, and unfortunately had this tragic consequence. So we don't know a lot, but one of the other things that we do know is that this is a very old facility that originally started production in 1919. Now, that doesn't mean that where this event happened, that it was equipment from 1919, but certainly an old facility. And we also have been told that they had just completed a turnaround that they had last done 5 years beforehand. However, they had resumed production. So we don't know if the turnaround had anything to do with this incident, but certainly, as we all know, coming back up from major turnarounds at any chemical or petrochemical facility is an issue. So John, any other details that you're able to find?
No, I think it was pretty much what you said. I think they mentioned it. They thought it came from the crude unit, but other than that, don't really know if that's where it actually came from or where it started, but pretty much what you just said is what I got.
So we want to make sure we stick to the facts, and we want to make sure that we're not speculating when we do these short incident alerts. But John, you've got a lot of experience in refining and have worked in a refinery. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts about this incident without getting into the specifics of this, but what are some of the things that kind of come to your mind when you read through the details of this incident that we might be able to pass on to others who are in the industry?
Yeah, for sure. I think when I saw the article title and it said it was, you know, at a refinery, first thing that came to mind was this during like a startup shutdown? Because traditionally, in my experience, startups and shutdowns are probably the most riskiest part of the turnaround or riskiest part of just a process, because that's when you're most vulnerable for like a runaway reaction or your safety systems, your interlock, your SIS might be, you know, bypassed or, you know, intentionally bypassed to get started up to the certain, you know, set points you need to be at, or this, you know, after a maintenance turnaround where someone might have missed it. So that's kind of the riskiest part, just because a lot of things are going on. Because I think if you look at most incidents, it happens either at a startup or shutdown because there's a lot going on already and you're trying to get production back up. So that's kind of the riskiest, because I think the best, I heard a statistic somewhere, like if you look at most like flights, most of the problems usually happen at the takeoff or landings when you usually have airplane issues. It's not really in the middle of the process. It's usually at the beginning or end. So similar to that, processes are the same way. Like it's usually at the beginning when you're starting up or at the end when you're coming down, just because when you hit your, you know, threshold between your safe operating limits, you're good. But when you're outside of that, that's where you're operating. It gets kind of dicey.
And that's what you're doing by definition in startup and shutdown, right? You're reducing inventories, you're reducing the amount of material, or you're increasing as you're starting back up, et cetera. So that definitely, and that's not just in refineries, that's in, you know, in any sort of process, especially continuous processes. I know when I worked in a polymerization process, when it was a continuous process, and whenever we were starting up or shutting down, that was a big deal. So it was always all hands on deck. And again, we don't know the information we have so far is that the unit had started back up and was in normal production, but still those issues can linger. And I wonder, I do wonder if that might be something that happened, is that it was an issue that maybe came from shutdown. I know we're not supposed to speculate, but maybe it was something that came from shutdown when they started back up, but it didn't show itself until after they thought everything was good, which is kind of like the worst thing, right? You think you're good, and now there's actually a problem that was not evident at startup.
Yeah, and at certain refineries, there's a lot of just storage tanks for a reason, and the reason for the storage tanks is because it's containing different products. So you're not going from one unit, process unit, to another process unit. It's usually to another tank or another surge tank or something, just so you get that level up so you can start the next process. Because if you have a major product in the first portion of the, you know, unit, how are you going to feed your other process, right? Because I think this is making like diesel, gasoline, jet fuels, and other fluids, and that all have different properties. So it's not like you're going A to C. You have to have A to B, and then from B to C. So I take it as a grain of salt when they say they started up a few weeks ago. They might have started up one part of the plant and just waiting for inventory, or just building inventory before they start the other stuff up, just so you don't, you know, juggle 20 units. You're juggling one. Once you get lined out, you kind of go somewhere else. I don't know what they did there, but it's typical how you would do it. The other thing is just coming around and turnaround, because turnaround is usually where you do your inspections, your maintenance that you haven't done online, just because you're going to wait until a shutdown to do it. So when you replace your catalyst, and it's just going to get all the stuff you need to make change in the last 5 years that you haven't done yet since you've been waiting for this. And then that to-do list usually grows pretty quickly as people said, yeah, we have a turnaround or we have a shutdown coming up. It's like, what all can we get in this time? And then when you're down, you're not making money. So you get that pressure of, hey, prices are really good. Can we speed up this shutdown, or let's get going? We're like hemorrhaging a ton of money for not making production. We're spending a ton. Well, so it's just that investment.
And we're not saying at all that had anything to do with it, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that when you shut a facility down once in 5 years and try to get everything done at once, number one, hugely complex. Number two, lots of opportunities for mistakes. And number three, you do have that pressure to, you know, to get started back up, because time is money. And so you really have to manage that process well. And that's why, as you say, like that list grows pretty long. And that's why companies will spend a year or more doing their planning for their turnaround.
For sure. For sure.
To make sure to coordinate all those resources and make sure that things get done. And again, we don't know if that had anything to do with this incident, and maybe it had nothing to do with it, but
yeah.
Okay.
It's just something I think about when I'm here.
Any other thoughts come to mind, or is that it?
No, it's just pretty much it. I think you're working with at a refinery, you're working with highly flammable liquids or gas already. So it's not a shocker that there's a fire, especially if you're heating it up to 500 degrees or whatever the temperature is, and anything would probably, you know, ignite that. So really easy to do. So you just kind of have to be aware, start up, just be very cognizant, paying attention, making sure everything's back active.
If we pull this back to PSM, I mean, this is where MOCs are important. This is where pre-startup safety reviews are vital. This is where mechanical integrity inspections and testing are vital. This is where making sure your PHA is accurate and up to date. All of these things can play a part in your startup and your shutdown. So if I'm working at a refinery, John, you know, you're the safety guy, or you're the process safety guy at the plant. What are you saying to the folks out on the floor, or maybe the engineers and supervision? What are you saying to those folks about this? What's the take-home message from this incident based on the limited amount of information we have right now?
Oh, man, that's a big one. I think I would probably emphasize, like you said, on the PHA, on startup and shutdowns. I think sometimes we may skim through that quickly just because it's like, oh, startup shutdown, we're just going to look at the process. But like we said, the process is usually good once you line it out. It's usually coming up when you don't have your same safeguards as you would usually have, or you're doing a lot of like just manual changes or just changes to kind of adjust to what you need to get done. So doing a PHA on your operating procedures. So when you look at your startup or shutdown procedures, you just kind of look at the steps and kind of go, all right, what happens if you don't do that? What's the causes?
Or what if this fails at this particular point in time what if this temperature transmitter fails at the same time that our SIS is bypassed because we're in startup mode or something like that, right?
Yeah. It gets a little bit more tedious and kind of annoying, I'll be honest, but it's when you actually look at your most vulnerable. And you might say it's double jeopardy, but it's really just a latent cause of like, we're starting up and this is bypassed because you can't operate, you know, what you could leave it on, you're just automatically going to trip because you don't have that set point reached yet. But I would kind of emphasize that just because I think most people probably overlook it and think they're concerned about just up, you know, during regular operations. But we should also include the startup shutdown, especially in the PHA, and you're just going through it. I think some operators find it useful because depending on the place, you might just have the operator writing it or just the engineer writing it. But when you have a PHA team and you're just looking at it as a whole, kind of go, yeah, that sounds right. And that's when you kind of fix your procedure at the same time going, oh, we should probably include this, or probably include a caution sign or a warning sign that this is a crucial step. And if we don't do it, we could get like a runaway reaction, overpressure, or, you know, consequences downstream that we don't really hear about. So I think that's important. The other one's just kind of just doing your PSM stuff, you know, like your MLCs, your PSSR, making sure all that's taken care of before you, you know, start, you know, before pretty much don't take shortcuts.
Before you hit the start button, right? Yeah. I mean, we talk about this that, you know, process safety, PSM or RMP, whatever regime you're in, you know, it's a lot of dotting I's and crossing T's and making sure that you pay attention to the details. And I think your point about the PHAs is spot on. We've got to make sure in our PHAs, especially in complex processes where there's really a lot going on when you're starting up or shutting down, we've really got to make sure that we're really good at considering what could fail that could cause consequences of concern, because in general there's a lot of them. You've got a small batch process where you've got a reactor and you're just adding some stuff and heating it and taking it out, probably not that big of a deal. But you've got a complex thing like a refinery or like some large petrochemical facility process, you know, that's when those latent things can come up. That's when there can be a lot of other issues that we're not going to catch that in the normal operating portions of our PHA. So I think that's a good one. Okay, well, I think that probably covers what we wanted to talk about here. So John, thanks for your help. And for those of you people out there, you know, this is another example. We work in dangerous industries. We need to make sure that we're focusing on the right things so that we don't have tragedies happen like has happened here to Ben and Max Morrissey. Our focus here at Amplify Process Safety, the reason why we exist is to prevent these things from happening. If you know somebody in a refinery or in a similar operation, forward this podcast to them. Say, hey, here's some information that might be useful to you. We want to get the word out, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that fatalities like this, casualties, business issues, equipment damage, all of that impacts people's lives. And that's why we are making sure that you know about it. So if you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. And until next time, this is John and Rob saying be safe out there.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.